This special podcast is brought to you by iLaunch, South Africa's top woman-led recruitment agency. It's August, and during my time of living in Johannesburg, which is most of my life, we used to call August the suicide month. But it's much brighter when you're in the Western Cape because it's Women's Month. And in fact, not just in the Western Cape, but the whole country. And one of the businesses that's making a lot of progress in the Western Cape, making many waves, is iLaunch. Tony Forshenker is with us. Good to be talking with you, Tony. I see you you know my old pal, Sean O'Connell, quite well at the Bumblebee operation. How did you were at UCT, did your business science degree, fantastic degree. How did you get together with Sean?
So Sean's actually related to me. He's my father. So we've been avid followers of BizNews over the last 11 years because I think he did start his journey, his new chapter, around about the same time that you launched yours. And yes, I think the passion for technology has definitely passed on to me and the family and business. Ultimately.
Oh, it's fantastic to be talking to people from the tribe. I love it.
He sends his regards.
Thank you. Thank you. But we're talking about you today and your journey. Take us back to the beginning of iLaunch.
Okay. So we're part of the Bumblebee Group, and Bumblebee Consulting, which is a traditional software development company, is sort of where I started in the group business. And we developed an app named MobiWash, and I played an intricate part of that. It's a mobile car washing app. You click a button and the car wash comes to your home. Uh-huh. And it was a wonderful time to be part of it. I think that was about 2017, because there's a big misconception about apps that they solve all your problems. No, you click a button and that needs to trigger a series of events. And so from developing that application to rolling it out into the market to it now being 8 years old and a fully fledged business, it was wonderful to see. I think that's where my passion for sort of technology was cemented, and I got to understand the ins and outs of the different roles, the capabilities of different individuals, and when we were doing projects at clients, often people used to ask, oh, don't you have a business analyst that's sitting on the bench? Don't you have a developer because we need somebody for 2 months, 3 months, etc.? And that's where the idea of creating iLaunch sort of was born. And that was in 2018. And that's very separate. So that is sort of a recruitment-only company. And yeah, we are. What is it now? 8 years? Seven, 8 years down the line.
It's extraordinary. When you look back, you know, 7, 8 years, it probably went past in the blink of an eye.
It has. And the growth has been wonderful to witness. We are 180 consultants strong. So what that means is that we have 180 consultants on our payroll, and we also obviously do permanent placements as well.
Explain that. 180. It sounds like a big team that you have there. Are they temporary staff, almost like Kelly used to be back in the past?
Yes. Yeah, so it's independent consultants. So, for instance, you have a client. In different industries, they've got projects that they are running. They are looking for consultants to join their team. So they typically would have a 3 month, 6 month, 12 month requirement. So if they're looking for a .NET developer, and they would brief us and they would say, listen, we are looking for some excellent talent to join our team. And we would then either look to our network, headhunt, and then present them with a suitable candidate And then obviously they interview to see if it's a, we like to call it fit for purpose, because there's a job spec, but there's a cultural fit. And there's also just alignment of personal goals, career goals, and where the company is going as well. Because, you know, you sort of want a long-term engagement ultimately. So it's, that's most sustainable for all parties.
It seems as though the world of work has changed a lot over the past few decades, and that a organization like yours, I suppose going back to the 80s, would have been one where you only did permanent placements, where companies wanted someone and they got hold of a recruitment agency and said, please find us the right person, and away you went. But from the way you've already described our launch, it's very different to what used to happen in the olden days, if we can call it that.
Correct. And I think when you hear recruitment, most people know about the perm placement. So we find somebody and then they are employed by whoever has requested a resource. But we also, you know, they call it resourcing, and some call it bums on seats. We don't necessarily use that term because, you know, these are skilled individuals that are building a career. And some, most of them, well, obviously all 180 of ours, they choose this because with contracting, it's a different territory. You know, you don't get leave. That's not part of the agreement because they provide an independent service to us. So typically that is they earn a higher rate per hour because of, you know, it's not sort of a permanently employed individual.
And what sectors do you focus on most?
So financial services is a big one for us. We do have petroleum. We do have the public sector, telecommunications. So it is across the board. If you think of technology these days, it is across the board as well. So just when we think that perhaps something is off limits, there's definitely a need. And about 2.5 years ago, we've stepped into the generalist space. So in addition to IT recruitment, we do offer finance roles or recruitment around that, as well as sort of business administration. So that is
IT is definitely the, you know, the future, and I suppose artificial intelligence as well. Do you, if someone phoned you up and said, we need someone to get our business into the 21st century, we need AI competence, can you help?
Yes. So that has, in the last 12 months, has been a demand, should I say. And it's a tricky one because if you think of AI, the last 3 years has been the key focus, but I think definitely in the last 12 months, it sort of has touched the average Joe. Mm-hmm. And with our clients, there have been projects that they are now launching, and they come to us and they're quite honest and they open, they say, listen, we have no idea about what sort of roles are in AI, how do we benchmark salaries? What are these individuals wanting in the market? What are the experiences? And with one particular client, we actually went on a explorative exercise where we had the exec team and us sit down. They described to us what it is they are looking for, particularly in AI. And then we went out to the market. We produced a market snapshot. So that is, we speak to different candidates. We get to understand where they're living, what they're wanting, what their expertise are. How does that match the client's expectation? We then regroup with them to say, listen, this is what you had in mind. This is what the market is saying. What are your thoughts? And then they sort of reassessed their initial standpoint and came to a realization, okay, this is actually what we are after. your AI engineers, your AI leads, and the various experience around that, because it is limited, given that it's all new. But, you know, there are candidates and consultants out there. So we did find and we did submit and they did interview. And as much as it was a learning curve, there was a positive outcome because they went through, you know, the interview process is different for every client. You know, sometimes you have two interviews, you have assessments, you have case studies. It's become quite rigorous. Some even do psychometric testing for this. And for the AI in particular, that was quite rigorous. So they could actually just get an understanding of their depth of knowledge. So, yeah, AI is a constant of late.
And do you primarily place people to go into the company, or is the remote work wave also part of what is demanded now by those 180 plus people who you represent, I guess you could call it, to the workplace?
So the last 12 months have been interesting with remote work, hybrid work, and in office. Since COVID, the consultants were definitely calling the shots with that. And I think it's just, you know, we know what COVID did and we know the change that it brought about. And this is sort of the next wave of change. We've seen our clients take a staggered approach. So 2 days in office, 3 days at home in the hybrid. And it went to 3 days in office. It then went to four. And for many, within the last 3 months, there's been communication that as of the 1st of January, it's 5 days in office. Wow. You definitely see the I wouldn't say pushback, but your phone gets is lit up because, you know, that change does have a knock-on effect to what your routine is. So, you know, working from home, you don't have that traffic. So, you know, when to drop the kids if you have kids. And some kids do a school run, so they don't have childcare at home, etc. So going back to the office full-time, there is other things that must take into consideration, that you need to take into consideration. But it's possible. Like we changed to remote, you know, I think it's just adapting to it. But definitely there are more in-office roles currently available than there are remote in our experience at this present moment.
That's so interesting, because if you look at it from a broader perspective, this battle between capital and talent, or in other words, corporates and employees. I know I don't want to overemphasize, there's not a war that's going on, but there certainly is a give and take on that side. And it appears as though talent is now having to make more allowances than just after COVID. Just after COVID, you were the talent, you could make the rules, and things coming back to pre-COVID world, perhaps.
Yes. But a lot of them are questioning, you know, why should I spend 2 hours in traffic where I could be more productive? And I think it does boil down to the company. And then if we drill down, there are teams and the particular managers that you are dealing with. We do have the exception where maybe the company has made the overall decision, but the individual team and that manager is happy for them to continue with hybrid. I will say, just from our perspective, our internal team is about 20 to 25 in terms of our engine room. And so we follow hybrid, and we have since COVID. So it's 2 days in office, 3 days at Earth remote. The big lesson that I've experienced is that the accountability and the responsibility is all on the team for how effective remote work is. And from day one, I've sort of put that on the team, that if a colleague is not available when they need them to be available, i.e. if I had to walk across to your desk, it's they're within their right to say, Justin, next time I ping you, or next time, you know, you're away from your desk, let me know. And I must commend my team. They've taken it very seriously and they've applied the required discipline. And I said, listen, hybrid will work as long as you want it to work and you make it work. And I think it boils down to the team dynamic. If you think about it, post-COVID, a lot of companies, they've changed their office setups. Some of our clients have remote desking, so consultants are not given a particular desk anymore. Before, you were assigned a desk. In some instances, because they're still juggling hybrid, a particular day you need to book a desk. So if you don't book a desk, you can't sit at the office on that day, which is all, this is all post-COVID, right? You didn't have that. Everybody was given a desk before. They've also changed their offices. They've downsized some of them. So if I think of the amount of administration to coordinate all of this, it's a lot and it's time consuming. So I, in some ways, I understand why they've just said, 5 days back to office. Here's your desk. Let's go. But I think meeting, we can meet in the middle, especially in the IT industry, because developers are coding. And most of the time you walk into a developer's office, they've got headphones on because the music's on and they're just going. So, yeah.
So whether they're in the office or not is kind of not going to affect their work. Tony, you're in a unique situation in that you have got a team that is, particularly in the tech sector, who are in demand from the business world. And you've also got a business science degree, so you understand how the business works as well. How do you personally respond to questions from younger people trying to find the right career choice today? In other words, where would you guide them into what area, perhaps in, if we talk about tech, but generally, to make their career from, so that they don't end up being in a dead-end job one day?
Yeah, it's something. So with Mandela Day and Youth Day, we kind of run sort of a youth focus program. And this year we hosted three workshops, which was for workplace readiness and targeted to the youth. These are either grade 12 students, grade 11, grade 12, or it was people in their first year or going to graduate. And these very questions that, or the, what you've asked came up. And I remember when I was studying, somebody said to me, don't just follow your passion. This is what they told me. They said, don't just follow your passion. Actually do research as to which jobs are hiring so that you know that you can get a paycheck. That's what somebody said. And I couldn't understand it for the longest time because I was like, but how could I just not follow, you know, what's in my heart and what made me tick? Because that's sort of always been my approach, you know. I know that it takes discipline. I know that hard work and consistency surely must get you the growth that you're after, right? And you've got your network, etc. But that stuck with me because now being in recruitment and seeing the demands and where there's sort of a low supply or a shortage of skills, I kind of view it, there needs to be a balance. So yes, there needs to be passion because you need to love what you're doing. Otherwise, you're not going to ultimately be happy. But it is a balance. So I think if you understand more or less where you'd like to land, do research as to what are those roles in that industry. I did a business science degree, and it's definitely not always about the destination, but the journey that you're on. And if you see the options that you have and look at what they are paying for those jobs, which companies are hiring for those jobs, I think it would put you in good stead to follow that route. The workshops were interesting because their biggest fear at all of that was AI and AI replacing what they are currently studying. And I thought that's such a valid concern to have. But we certainly motivated that to turn that fear into understanding more about what AI is. And obviously within the AI, within the IT world, how does that impact your role, and how, what can you do now so that you can overcome that and be better for it?
Yeah, and then if you embrace it, I've lived long enough to have been around at the dawn of the internet age, and I can remember compatriots who were working on newspapers, which I used to do as well, newspapers and magazines, being absolutely petrified by what the internet would be doing and how it would disrupt their lives. And those who embraced it actually flourished. But those who just got scared and froze, the opposite has happened to them. You've been around now, the company, for 7 years. It's a good track record. What about the next seven? When you lie in bed at night and you dream about the future, what are your dreams of for iLaunch when you turn 15, say, 8 more years?
Yeah. So I think certainly we want to double. No, wait, we're talking about 7 years. So I think that at least grow our consultant base to 1,000 or beyond. You know, I don't think there is a limit. But most certainly, at the core of what we do, we are career matchmakers. And I and our team never take for granted the power that we do hold in terms of our ability to find employment for somebody and that impact that it has on their family. So we might be in direct contact with 180, say 200. But if they're a family of two or a family of four, you do the maths, you're actually impacting 800 people's lives. And, you know, that is at the core of what we do. So definitely want to continue that and do more of that. AI for ourselves has been an ongoing topic. Will AI replace recruiters? We've had some consultants tell us that they were interviewed by an AI agent. And that was quite, they actually, just that experience alone made them freeze, because I'm not speaking to a human. So that made them uncomfortable. But the truth is, it is something that we need to consider. Right now, AI cannot detect sort of body language and culturally if you would be a fit for a space. For a role. So, yes, I think growth is important for us. And the sky is the limit. Most certainly, if what we have achieved in the last 7 years is anything to go by.
Well, we kicked off talking about August being Women's Month. Do you have any advantage in your business being a woman-led, woman-CEO to perhaps others in the field?
So, my team is also 95% women. And some people, when they hear that, they're like, oh, you know, what are you dealing with? All these different personalities. But I can say the one thing that, and we do have men, very supportive men, I must say. We have wonderful, you know, they support us and always rooting for us. But, you know, I say there's like a mutual understanding, and there are things that don't have to be said. So you're juggling all these things. And I think because we can relate on that level, there's like a connection, and it assists us in our productivity, in our efficiency, in just getting the job done. If you think of women, a lot of us in our team are moms. So we're juggling that as well. And you're multitasking. And I think it's just in who we are. And it is in our workplace. And we are quite empathetic. I'm not saying our counterparts are not. But I think it does play a role in how we manage situations, how we guide and navigate others. And for us, a personal high touch relationship with, whether it's with our clients or whether it's with our consultants, it's very important to us because we are dealing with people at the end of the day. And these are people's livelihoods. So we don't take that for granted. So I think having that womanly touch does help us quite a bit.
I love what you said as well about being a career matchmaker. There's no way I would ever entrust matchmaking to a man. So it, in this perspective, it looks like you're certainly in the right area. Tony Folschenk is the Chief Executive of iLaunch. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.